welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. If you've listened to the other episodes, if you've been hankering for some new content and shit, I do have a publishing schedule now. I'm going to start doing these podcasts. I'm going to be recording them, you know, over the weekend, editing them, putting everything together, and you'll have a new episode every Monday, so look out for that. You know, first thing Monday, I'm going to try to get it up, you know, I don't know, like 8, 9 a.m. Pacific time every Monday, so subscribe and shit. Look out for that. So if you listen to last week's episode where I talked to Jason Hand from Electric Zoo, New York, 2015, then you heard the story of when my videographer found a massive bag of ketamine in the porta potty. That was just one of many great stories I have from EZU 2015. And today I'll be telling some of the others, like the now infamous Borgore story. We'll also be hearing from Canadian DJ duo Adventure Club. So many great memories from Electric Zoo. So many great moments, but there's also a lot of grayed out memories too. As far as I can remember, I also spoke with Black Tiger Sex Machine, the Glitch Mob, who is, you know, hands down my all-time favorite music group, and I know I'm forgetting some other artists. Like I said, it'll come back to me. I spend maybe like a third of that festival trying to dig my way out of a K-hole, so you know how that goes. Anyway, I'm supposed to do an interview with Borgore, who just dropped a new song with G-Eazy called Forbes at the time. This is not my first encounter with Borgore. A few months previous to this, I was supposed to interview him at another music festival, but his people told me, you know, he had to cancel at the last minute due to, I'm using air quotes now, you can't see it, but, you know, imagine me doing air quotes, health issues. Yeah, so later that night, I saw Borgore puking his guts up in a trash can in the green room. Anyway, Borgore and G-Eazy, they fly into New York and come straight to Governor's Island for Electric Zoo when it's already on and popping. The problem is, by the time they get there, Borgore is supposed to take the stage, you know, in less than an hour. So if you've ever talked to a musician before and after they perform a show, especially a big show or a music festival like EZU, then you already know how dramatically different their energy level is. And by energy level, I don't mean like woo-woo, their fucking aura and all that bullshit. I mean just the energy that they have. Okay, maybe I do mean woo-woo shit. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about half the time. So anyway, before they perform, you know, they're still kind of getting hyped up, and they have a lot of energy, you know, but a lot of musicians, they leave all that energy on the stage when they perform. So when they come off stage, the last thing they want to do after killing a sold-out show is to, you know, quietly sit down for 15 minutes with someone who's going to ask them about their new music, and they're going to try to give you these answers that were clearly supplied to them from their publicist. It's actually really funny because some musicians who have been getting interviews for all their life, and politicians do this too. I mean, you could totally tell who is properly being handled and who is just kind of, you know, a rogue doing their own thing. And it's actually really funny because some people who have been giving interviews for years are great at this. Politicians too. But if you talk to an artist who has been, you know, on the circuit for like a year or two, it's actually really tragic. So I go to talk to Borgore's publicist who sets the whole thing up, and she's basically like, you know, you need to go wrangle him in if you want this interview. So she's basically washed her hands of the situation at this point. She already knows that she can't control this motherfucker. I did actually find a short video clip of this, of the attempted Borgore G-Eazy interview. That'll be available, obviously, on my website, ryanstabile.com, ryanstabile.com. Still working on that jingle. It needs a better production value. Next week, I'm going to do a swing version of the website song, or maybe an electro swing. How do you guys feel about that? So anyway, you know, Borgore and G-Eazy, they're bouncing around all over the place in the green room. Basically, they're just like hitting on anyone with a pair of tits in the green room or in the, you know, immediate vicinity. It's actually hilarious because, you know, to see them, they're clearly fucked up. Like, I think they just smoked a big blunt on the plane or whatever. To watch G-Eazy and Borgore go up to, you know, a chick, and everyone in the green room, all the females in the green room, they're obviously, you know, they're working. They're either an artist themselves, or they're part of the production crew or something, where they actually work at the event. If you ever, like, try to hit on or pick up someone when they're working, like, you know, the cute barista at Starbucks or whatever, then you know that's a fucking trap. That's the last thing they want. They don't want to be hit on when they're at work. So anyway, to see Borgor and G-Eazy go up to these females and tell them, like, what's your pussy taste like? I'm gonna put my tongue in your asshole. And then, you know, the females, some of them are polite and, like, kind of laugh or whatever, but one of them actually slapped Borgor in the face. Not hard, just like a, you know, fuck off kind of slap. For the most part, they just walk away. If they weren't who they are, then I think they would have gotten in real trouble. I think there might be a Me Too thing in the pipeline for these two as well. We'll see what happens when I publish this episode. The thing about what I'm doing here is, you know, these are stories I've been telling people for years. Like, a select few people already know these stories, but they haven't been published anywhere for obvious reasons. So, you know, I figure, fuck it, we all might be dead, you know, by the end of the year. So, and I'll be damned if I'm gonna die with these secrets. So, there you go, you're welcome. So anyway, Borgor and G-Eazy are just, like, you know, going fucking hard with the sexual harassment. I mean, so anyway, once they successfully chased off all the females in the green room, they sit on the couch, and then at that point, you know, they refill their cups, they're both having a couple drinks, and they're just, like, pointing at girls on the other side of the fence, because, like, from the green room, it's just, the green room at Izu was basically just, like, a fenced-off section of the festival. Because if you've been to Governor's Island, then you know there's no real, like, shelter or buildings there. So anyway, at that point, they're just pointing at people on the other side of the fence, like, girls who are in the GA at the festival, and who don't even see him, by the way, who are, like, completely oblivious to the fact that they're talking about him. They're pointing at him and just, like, talking about how they want to eat their assholes and shit. Anyway, Borgor and G-Eazy are sitting there saying the most disgusting shit they can think of directed at these, you know, random music festival thoughts. I mean, I don't even know if I should repeat some of the stuff that they said. Long story short, Borgor says something to the wrong girl. She comes up and gives him a quick right hook right in the nose. And then just, like, continues on, you know, walking on her merry way, like she's got something to do, like, you know, it never even happened. So she disappears into the crowd. Meanwhile, Borgor is just grabbing his nose. I think he learned a valuable life lesson that day, and it's bleeding profusely. Now, keep in mind that he's got to go on stage in just a couple minutes. So he runs off somewhere to nurse his wounds, and G-Eazy's just sitting there like, what the fuck, did that just happen? It's kind of like with a shell-shocked look on his face. And at that point, I just wash my hands of the whole situation, and I'm out of there. Fuck it, you know? Anyway, the moral of the story is that, you know, as many UFC fighters already know, you can actually perform with a broken nose. So basically what happened was, you know, the reason I never got the Borgor G-Eazy interview is because they were too fucked up or unable to concentrate or just, like, obsessed with, you know, eating ass at that point. So, you know, I mean, it's tough. Like, when your ass-eating addiction cost you an interview, it's really rough, you know? I think they have support groups for that now, so I think Borgor and G-Eazy are getting help for their ass-eating addiction. Anyway, if there are any girls out there who want to get their asshole eaten, you should definitely hit up Borgor and G-Eazy because, you know, they think about it quite a bit, so I think that they could hook you up. Anyway, back to Adventure Club. You know, as soon as this recording starts, you're going to notice something is a little off, and that's because I'm not actually the one conducting the interview. My videographer, the same guy who found the ketamine in the porta potty, he's a hardcore fanboy for Adventure Club. Like, he has posters of them all over his room and jerks off to them at night. That's how hard he goes for Adventure Club. Anyway, his name's Tony, and, you know, I told Tony, all right, you know, we could trade places for this interview or whatever. I'll work the camera, you sit in front of the camera and talk to them. So, you know, that's what's up with this one. So while you're watching, by the way, keep in mind that this is Tony's first interview he's conducting, so I guess, you know, cut him a little slack, or don't, I don't fucking care. Get at him. I'll put his, like, Twitter or Facebook or some shit in the show notes so you can tell him how much you love him or he sucks to his face, virtually. Also, another thing to point out, I mean, it kind of goes without saying if you're listening to basically anything I said in, like, the last two episodes, but at some point during the course of this interview, you can visually see Tony go into a K-hole. When the interview started, you know, he was doing little bumps of K before the interview, and then, you know, he said he was fine when the interview started, and then, you know, a few minutes in, maybe like halfway through or something, he just, I mean, he trips and he falls into a K-hole. You know, it happens sometimes. It's an occupational hazard of working at music festivals, you know, so it happens. Anyway, here's Adventure Club and K-hole Tony.
With Adventure Club at EZ 2015. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man.
Good. Excited to be here. Your set?
Yeah.
All right. So I have a few questions for you. How do your live set, like when you play sets, does it differ from when you play in Montreal to the crowd there, or like around here? Do you have to like, you know, switch up your genres for certain places that you play? You know, how does that work out?
You could have to change it a little bit to play your own. That's what I think. Montreal. The thing is, like, they're a little bit more forward, I guess. They're a little ahead of time. So you have to be on your toes for sure.
I think what differs the most is the festival set. Festival set, you get not only your fan, you get fans. You don't want to like have half the crowd dancing, half the crowd dancing, kind of get bored. You can like blend it all together. You play a pub show, you play your own show.
Are we catching up in Montreal a little bit on this music scene, like with the EDM craze now, or is it more the other way around? Montreal's catching up.
No, it's not even that. It's more that like Montreal's gotten tired of songs.
Okay, so it's like it's just different. It comes in waves.
Thank God they aren't tired of us. We love Montreal. I mean, like running around, it's a lot of fun. But then they kind of, you know, they drop a few things.
I think that like most of like very ended.
And it's having a comeback now.
Yeah. It's coming. Honestly,
I just saw the same sound.
Yeah.
A lot of bass.
Yeah. The bass head movement's getting a lot. Like, the way the bass had to come out. A lot of underground artists too. And like the Modestep won the Bass Awards in 2013. Dub Pistols last year. Bass music's taking over a lot more now. What I want to talk to you guys about is Crash the 2.0 reboot. Did you guys work with anyone on that, or is that just you guys wanted to, you know, just do a remake of it?
Well, we worked with Dallas K. If you look, I mean, it's kind of like reinterpretation of his song. We were hanging out on the bus, and we were just kind of, I don't know,
like ball. This is true. So that's like
What year was the original Crash put out compared to the 2.0 now?
Not very long.
Not very long. Is there a difference?
Yeah.
I was at Izu 2 years ago when it got canceled on a Sunday, and then you guys played the day after party. You know, they had a couple issues here, but do you guys cater differently to something like that happening? Was it a cancellation? You guys playing after party? Do you, you know, amp it up a little bit more? Do you, you know, is there anything else? You just go with your set that you do?
The thing with that party was that there were so many kids that were ready to prepare to just go crazy for the entire day. They didn't get that, right?
Yeah.
So when we got them at night, like, they were, like, chomping at the bit. Like, it didn't even, you know, we were excited, too. But we were pretty sad that we weren't handsome enough to have to be able to play that kind of song. There was just a very, very strong
I saw that you guys posted on Facebook for the website after party. You guys have a special guest. Is there anything like crazy going on tonight?
We got quite a few great
Is it as good as the 2013 guest with Grella, Carnage, and
Loudpack?
Yeah,
it was pretty great. Yeah.
Well, it was Loudpack was playing with Lucky Day too, right? It was you guys headlining Loudpack, Lucky Day.
I mean, it's just like that day, like no one got the place, right?
Yeah.
Gotta
go somewhere.
We gotta flexible.
Kicking yourself, you know.
I mean, they found out the festival's canceled. 9:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock, everyone's like, what show's playing, we're gonna see who's playing, and everyone's like, oh, Adventure Club, Loud Pack. Of course, you guys, it sold out, it went from like $30-$40 ticket to like $120 ticket in like 30 minutes.
Yeah,
I really like seeing that. Yeah, I mean, that isn't even like the people, you know, just trying to make money off it. It was just like the demand of it, it just kept going and going, and people were just like, it was almost like an easy ticket. Told you guys about is the When Darkness Falls tour. Yeah, the lineup was pretty stacked. Snails, Kairos Bloom, Kaizo.
Sean Franklin.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah, I saw that on the list. Is there anyone else, or is that like the main?
That's the main crew. Yeah. We have.
We've also been sitting on like trying to time it out with Darkness Falls. So.
Yeah.
Never heard.
All right. The Schools tour. Is there any places on the tour that you guys want to like you haven't been to before, or some places that you're currently really excited to go back to? do you know the venue or
no?
Oklahoma General is a great energy. Yeah. All right. Is there anything you guys wanna talk about? Anything new coming up? Or
it's gotta be a month ago.
Club at. All right, that was our episode. Thank you for listening. You can find the full show notes and the video for this interview, and I'll throw up what video I do have available for the my attempted interview with Borgore and G-Eazy. I think you'd hear them talking about what they want to do to women's assholes, so definitely not safe for work. Real quick, I want to invite everyone to share their personal favorite stories from any music festival or concert you've been to. If you had something funny happen to you, if you ran into one of the musicians or artists performing and had like a little funny interaction, or you know, just like stupid funny stories, the best stories you got, send them to me. You can leave them in the comments if you want, or better yet, you know, you could probably just email them to me. If you want to shoot me an email, you can reach me at info@ryanstabile.com, just like the name of my website, huh? Next week, I really want to do the Bob Pittman interview from Further Future 2016. This is one of my all-time favorite events, I mean, that I've ever been to. And, you know, you gotta take into consideration back in the day when I was working these events. In the summertime, I was going to music festivals, you know, every weekend. Further Future is, I'll talk about it next week. See you then. Stay safe, y'all.